Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We're continuing our study of the 119th Psalm. And if you're wanting to know when it'll be through, it'll be done when we hit Psalms 176. So we still have several stanzas to go. And quite a ways, we're taking a stanza at a time, 8 verses at a clip. And we stand not because of anything religious. We stand just out of honor of God's Word. Now, you read that Bible, you find out that when he took open the book there in the book of Ezra, the Bible says, and they stood. But the only thing is he didn't say they sat back down. They stood the whole day while the preacher was preaching. And you think I'm long-winded. He preached all day long, and they stayed standing. I can't imagine what that'd be like. I'll let you sit down in just a second. But Psalms 119, we'll pick it up in verse number 113. I hate vain thoughts. A strong statement for a Bible. You actually are a Bible believer, and nowadays you're taught you're supposed to love everything and everybody. But the Bible doesn't teach that. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you indeed for the entire Bible. We thank you, God, for a place to come. We'd ask now for an infilling of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to put these truths across in such a way that it would be understood. But not only understood, but taken to heart and have something done with it. I pray, God, that you might help me to help them. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just kind of a quick update. We got several families, several folks that are out sick. And they've got the epizoolus or whatever. And we got some folks that are out of town traveling. So make sure that you don't forget to pray. If you look around, some of our regulars are not here. Maxine fell the other day, High Cove, and bruised her hip and all. She seems to be okay, but she's at home, and there are several others that are out. The Holland family is all sick. I see Stratton's got back in here. But anyway, those of you, when we're running around shaking paws, if you walk up to somebody and they say elbow, what they're saying to you, they're not trying to be rude or that they're too good to shake your hand. They're saying they've been coughing in their hand and they don't want you to get snot on your hand. I'm sorry, I forgot, it's Sunday morning. Mucus. Projectiles, germs. Sorry about that. I'll have to do better than that in the future. Probably not. Psalms 113, let's pick it up there if you would, please. Let me say this about this passage. Again, this passage, you have to let it unfold as it unfolds. You have to let the passage preach. You can't preach what you want to out of the passage. Here recently in some of the school stuff that's been going on, I've been pointing out to some of the students there that a lot of times what people do is they call what I call take a verse, take a fit. Their sermon is the same across the board. They just choose a different passage to leap from, but then they go right back to the same thing. Or they're so dogmatic, they're so sure about what it is they want to say, that they don't let the passage speak. They allow it to speak for what they want it to say. And therein, I think, causes people not to get fed. Therein, what happens in a lot of places is you don't get the proper balance. There is more to church than just being saved. And there's more to church than just don't quit, stop, and then go, do, and be. Church should be focused on, come on, help me a little bit. Church should be focused on your relationship with Jesus Christ. That will take care of what you should stop doing and what you should start doing. And too often what we do is we spend too much time telling people the symptoms of a relationship with Jesus Christ instead of just letting the root bear the fruit. And too often what happens is we don't realize that the problem is not the fruit. The fruit in and of itself is not what the problem is. The problem is if the root's bad, the fruit's bad. The fruit is simply a symptom. So we're not here to try to give you a list of things to do. However, there are some things in this passage that you have to realize that God points out. You can't be a good lover if you're not a good hater. There is a contrast in the Bible. God even says in Proverbs chapter 6, and one of the things that is an abomination to Him, turn with me if you will please, is a person. You've been so convinced for so long that God loves everything and God loves everybody that you don't understand that there's certain people that God does not love. Listen, Jesus Christ died for you, and if you're not saved today, let me just tell you this. He loved you enough to die for you, but if you rejected His only begotten Son, the wrath of God abides on you right now. If you think I'm kidding, just die and see where you wind up. The love of God was demonstrated to you at Calvary, and if you're dumb enough not to accept what He did for you, then the wrath of God abides you. Don't get the idea that the love of God means that means He's just going to let me go and let me do whatever I want to do. I don't know if you know when your ticket's going to get punched. But the last time I checked, nobody does. Nobody has life and death in their hands. So if you don't know when you're going to check out, you need to be ready to check out now, and that way you don't have to worry about it. But don't get the idea that the love of God means that because He's merciful and long-suffering and gracious toward all of us, that means that He's condoning your wrongdoing. He may just go ahead and allow that to stop short now, and you may drop off into an eternal hell and burn forever. Say, so preachers don't preach hell anymore. Okay, I don't know that they're preachers or not, but if you're a preacher, you preach hell. And you preach that that's where people go that reject Jesus Christ. I got saved from going to hell. I didn't get saved from my sins. I'm still a sinner. I got saved from the repercussions for the price of paying for my own sin. That was going to hell. That's why I appreciate my salvation. I know where I was going without my salvation. And that's why I appreciate it. It's not, well, what did it do for me? Well, I'm still a work in progress. He's been working on me a whole lot longer. You say, why did He save you at such an early age? Because I asked Him, number one. Number two, you realize He had a lot of work to do. If I waited as long as some of you did to get saved, I don't know that He would have ever gotten anything straightened out in me. I think He gave me the wife I did to try to help me along the way a little bit. That's just me, but I know where my bread's buttered. Proverbs chapter number 6, look if you will please, verse number 16. This is the Lord talking, six things that the Lord, H-A-T-E, hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him. Pretty serious thing. An abomination to the Lord is a pretty bad thing. He says, a proud look, a lying tongue. Is that not something that people do? Hands that shed innocent blood. Is that not what people do? You can shed innocent blood with pen or sword. The pen's mightier than the sword sometimes. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, all done by people. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Lord says there's seven things there that are an abomination to Him, and there's some things that are not okay with God. So I'll have to give you, before we can go anywhere, we got to stop here in verse number 113 and talk about the double-mindedness, the vain thoughts as compared to the good thoughts, the law I do love. But what He's saying is that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Like Reuben, who's unstable as water. In other words, there's nothing that is consistent in his life. He says, I hate those vain things. What's vanity? It's thinking of yourself. It's always being self-centered. It's always being selfish. It's what the psychologist calls narcissism. A fancy word for being self-absorbed. Thinking the whole world revolves around you. You're the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral. Every place you go, everything you do. Oh, it's all about you, it's all about you, it's all about you. That's why some of you are so touchy this morning. Because it's all about you. Generally, people that are touchy looking to be offended are because they're a legend in their own mind. That proud look, that arrogant spirit, that obnoxious way of, we got a corner on the market. You can't even try to be kind to these kind of people. They've always got to do something that's got sort of an edge to it. You say, what is that? It reveals to you what they really are. And look, if you will, please, there's a couple of illustrations I would like to give you here. Look, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings chapter number 18. There's some things that are not okay. There's some things that are not okay. You don't have to just accept everything. Maybe you think you do. People nowadays think that a Christian is just supposed to accept everything. I'm going to show you in the Bible that not just accepting things to do with your flesh is wrong, but accepting spiritual things and doctrinal things that are wrong are just as bad, if not worse, as accepting wrongdoing in the flesh. I tend to focus more on that. I know you'd rather me preach on drinking and smoking and cussing. But I've been preaching on it for 25 years and you ain't quit it yet, so I'm going to change the subject. Amen. You still doing it and you know what you're sitting there saying? Well, I don't know. It's just a little every now and then, you know. Just a little pinch between the cheek gum. Nobody else knows about it. You know, I don't care what preacher says about it. And I don't care if it is a bad testimony. So I'm going to give you another thing. I'm not going to tell you what to wear or what not to wear. You ought to have enough sense. You ought to know better than to do that stuff. I figure you've got some walking around sense. But what's the point in talking about it if you ain't going to quit it? The Holy Spirit can't get your attention. I can't. But here's what it comes down to. Is it going to be God's way or your way? Is it going to be the cross that the sister was singing about? Or is it going to be the crown? What's it going to be for you? Is it going to be you on the cross or Him on the cross? Because everything boils down to a decision of your way or His way. That forms the cross. Look in 1 Kings chapter number 18. This has to do with Elijah. He's up there on Carmel and stuff like that. And they're getting ready to have the big showdown at the OK Corral up on Mount Carmel. I'm sure you know the story. Notice in verse number 21, this is what it boils down to. The showdown is, Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" How long you going to ride the fence? How long are you going to straddle the fence? We don't like that in life. In Laodicea, he said, "I would that you were either cold or hot, but you're lukewarm." And he said, "Which things I hate." Get off the fence. Be one or the other. You can't be both and be successful at anything. Be cold or be hot, but stop trying to be what you are. When you're riding the fence, what that's saying is this. You're riding the fence says that when I'm around the cold, I'll be like... That was left-handed too. When I'm around the cold, I'll be like the cold. When I'm around the hot, I'll be like the hot.
That's right.
So what he describes you as is you're a mixture of those things. You're a chameleon and you adjust yourself to whatever the temperature is wherever you are. I'll just call you a spineless spiritual wonder. You got no backbone of your own. You don't stand for anything. You fall for everything. Amen. We're just getting started. In other words, what we do is it's kind of like we feel the temperature in the room, and so we're a thermometer instead of a thermostat. Instead, when I'm around something that's cold, I crank the heat up and try to warm it up. And if it's too hot, I turn it down and try to cool it off to keep the right balance. But instead, what he's talking about is we have that tendency, that propensity to say, "I want to fit in with whatever the crowd's doing. So if it's cold, I'll be cold. And if it's hot," you know what he's saying? "You're lukewarm. I don't want nothing to do with you at all." That's not spirituality. That's not Christianity. The Elijah, the old preacher, he said this to the nation of Israel, "How long before you make up your cotton-picking mind," Southern translation. He says, "If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him." And the people were in the first independent Baptist church that came out of the wilderness. You say, "How do you know?" They answered not a word. "I ain't saying nothing until I see what everybody else does. I'll go to the altar if they go to the altar. I'll say amen if they ain't say amen. I'll sing if they sing. I'll go if they go. I'll do if they..." But I ain't going to do nothing on my own as an individual. So what do we do? Well, we just simply... He said, "Listen, if God's God, follow Him. If Baal's Baal, follow Him. What y'all think?" Is it 12 o'clock time for lunch yet? So then they have the big showdown up there. You know what winds up happening is he winds up there trying to get the people. Look, if you will, in Joshua chapter number 24. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua 24. This same thing has gone on forever and forever. Can I ask you a question? Are you really not made your mind up you want to be married? You've been married 30 years now. I would say it's time to go ahead and accept the fact that it ain't going to change. Amen. Some of you kids that hadn't been married very long, you still got one foot in the world, one foot outside the world. You ain't fully committed. You're still running around like a cotton-picking frat boy or a fraternity girl, sorority girl in college. And you've been married for a little while, but you're still kind of wanting a taste of that single life. You're still kind of wanting to run around out there and play around in the bars and play around and still act like you're on the market. But then I want to be saved. I want to be married when it's good for me to be married and play in both ends again. Hey, why don't you make up your cotton-picking mind? I am married and I'm going to act like married instead of the cotton-picking dog that I am. You're married. Grow up. Get you a backbone, bless God. Stop acting like a cotton picking person that's not married. You're married. You just consolidated two households. This is focused on the family. You just consolidated two households. Guess what? You're both whacked out. He grew up doing things a certain way. She grew up doing things a certain way. When you put it together, it's like putting fire and gasoline together. Hallelujah. Right amount of gas, right amount of fire can give you a lot of warmth. But if you put it together too fast, you get nothing but a big explosion.
Amen. Amen.
When it's burning hot, that ain't the time to put gasoline on it, Brother Mitch.
Amen.
Time to cool it off. It would be good if some of you made up your mind in your relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm not in the world anymore. I may be of the world, but I'm not in the world. I'm not about the world. And I'm not going to live like the rest. I am a Christian. Stop trying to mingle it with the rest of the world and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm supposed to love everything and love everybody so I can keep on sucking my suds and my cigarettes. I can keep on watching and doing and going and being because I'm still in my flesh. Why don't you make up your mind and get off the fence? Why don't you make a decision, Dad? If you're a dad, why don't you act like a cotton-picking dad instead of a rogue? Why don't you spend some time with your kids instead of saying, well, I work all week, that's her job. If you're a mom, why don't you be a mom? Now you done got quiet on me, see? I preach on smoking and drinking and cussing, they tear the roof off. And I preach on something that's applicable to them, and it's like, I just don't know who he's talking to. I had a lady tell me the other day, I guess I preached something last week and must have got under somebody's skin. I can't imagine that. I thought I was real sweet. But somebody said, I wish Sister So-and-so had been there. She needed that sermon. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Do you hear yourself? She came up, she said, preacher, man, that was preaching. Man, that was good. Don't you wish Sister So-and-so had been here? I'm thinking, you did not just ask me that. But I just said, in the name of Jesus, I think it's good for all of us, sister. You know, I had to preach that in the mirror first. She, oh, yeah, that too. She's not here today, don't worry. But she might be watching by internet. Oh, well, it's out there now. What are you going to do about it? You know what he says right here before I can move on with this passage? You know what he says? It's time to make a choice. I mean, look, if you're going to be a Christian and you're going to serve God, why don't you do it? If you're going to be a husband, be a husband. If you're going to be a daddy, be a daddy. If you're going to be a mama, be a mama. Time we make some decisions. It's time we stop riding the fence. It's time we stop just sort of laying up next to everything and just pleasing everybody. Hey, Jesus weren't no crowd pleaser. What? Jesus was not a crowd pleaser. Dr. Nobles is here. She's like, I'm like, oh man, that was the wrong case to use with the wrong. It don't. I can't do that. Jesus wasn't a crowd pleaser.
Amen. Right.
Jesus was about pleasing the Father. And the way you were Jesus' friend is if you pleased the Father, you were pleasing to Jesus. And if you didn't please the Father, you were the enemy of Jesus. Yeah. The apostles had enemies. Have you ever studied what happened to them? They got killed. Except for John, after he's boiled in oil and put out there on the Isle of Patmos, he died old age. But at any rate, everybody else winds up being persecuted, put in jail, whipped, beat, killed, shot, I mean, everything you can imagine. Not with guns. And Christians today, Well, you don't even say anything. You won't even say you're blessed if you go to lunch with business partner. Hey, my relationship with you across the table and whatever business I'm doing with you ain't worth God making me sick because I'm mixing eat food I ain't asked God to bless.
Right.
With all the junk that's in it nowadays, I'm just going to go ahead and ask God to bless it whether you like it or not because I don't want to get sick and die from it.
Amen.
You want to do all that? That's your business. You say you don't believe? Yes, I do. I believe God gives you opportunities to get off the cotton picking fence.
Yes, sir.
And we apply it across the board, but when it comes to Christianity, we're not that way. Are you in the book of Joshua? Did I give you time to get there? Some of you hadn't read your Bible. You're like, is that in the Bible somewhere? Joshua, if you will, please, chapter 24, verse number 15, familiar verse. The Bible says, if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day. Choose you this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the other side of Jordan over there, or the gods of the Amorites in the land of whose you dwell, where you're at now. But as for me and my house, bless God, we serve in the Lord.
Amen.
We go on to church. Why? It's Sunday.
Amen.
My dad never asked me, do you want to go? It was, you going to go. You can go with a red behind or not. I don't care, but you going. And I'll be jumped if I'm going to argue with you every single Sunday like all of a sudden you got 1 week older and you think all of a sudden you have gotten smart. No, you going. As long as you're in my household, I don't care if you're 30, on Sunday, we go to church. You say, well, I just think that's ridiculous. Okay, well, don't make your mind up and then don't be surprised if your kids don't think that's how life is. Sometimes in life, you got to do things you don't like to do. That's called character, and this nation is bankrupt when it comes to character. You say, why? Parents don't make nobody do anything. They start squalling. Here's an iPad. Here's an iPod. Here, just be quiet. Do whatever you want. And coddle them, and baby them, and watch out, because every one of them is special. Your little Southern Belle is just as full of Sheol as anybody else's was. Amen. It don't rhyme, but you understand what I'm trying to say. All of a sudden, your kid is different than every other kid. They're the devil. At some point in time, you better wake up and realize you can't protect them against everything. They're going to get their nose bloodied sooner or later. So I'll not come back here again. Okay, well, thank God you finally made a decision.
There you go,
preacher. Hallelujah! You finally got your hind end up off the fence post and decided to do something.
Amen.
I didn't have a choice about things. Daddy, they're going out after the ball game. Good. Well, Daddy, can I? Are you stupid enough to ask that? Go ahead and ask. The answer's going to be the same.
Sure.
You say, well, I just think, you know, they have to get out there. My dad didn't believe in that. My dad said no. That's why I guess I'm the way I am now. Maybe it's what's giving me that kind of thing, you know. I mean, Daddy, they're going to go. Well, fine. They can go. That's between them and their parents. You ain't going. Daddy, we're going to go, but we're going to be back by 11:30. You're smoking crack before it's ever created. We don't know the word 11:30 around here. 11:30 is something we only see in the morning around this household. We don't see no 11:30 around here. You be in by 9:30. So I was a senior in high school. 9:30! He figured, what are you going to get out there into? I got into plenty and they'd be in there at 9:30. Amen, I'm with you. It was terrible. It was child abuse. It's horrible. Mama, don't listen to him. Oh, my Lord, we're going to be miserable. TV in my room. You say, yeah, but you were back there. Yeah, when dinosaurs were there. Tyrannosaurus Rex and you know, the big St. Clair dinosaur, Dino the Dino and all that. I mean, I'm around Fred Flintstone days where we're still pedaling cars with holes in the floorboard. That was my first car. I had car tags and cardboard in the bottom because the floorboard was rusted out in my car. Hallelujah. My wife rode in that thing. She said, if you're going to marry me, you're going to step up a notch, boy. You look like you're wearing it anyway. Where am I supposed to get into this thing? My dad, TV, we had one TV in the main room. And you watched whatever daddy and mama watched. You had no choice. Sunday afternoon, I'll get on this in a second. Sunday afternoon, Dad, I'm going to do so-and-so. Oh, no, you ain't. It's Sunday afternoon. We do dishes and take a nap. You can study if you want to. Sleep sounds real good. You ain't going out there and do what you want to do. You say, why? It's a set-apart day. You too stupid to make the decision for yourself. I'll make it for you. See, that sounds so odd. You say, listen, parents, you got to make up a mind and say the school system and the world system is not going to tell me how I raise my child. I'm going to raise them according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If they are in the public school system, that's fine. But there should be a balance at the house. Telephone. I'm just on it. And I just will just kick it until we kill it and then resurrect it and kick it again. We had one. It had a cord that would stretch from me to Brother Cray. Hanging in the kitchen. And we had one that had a wire to it that my dad could plug in. He would sit it on his knee when we were at dinner time because the phone rang a lot. He was a pastor, and so a lot of times he was on that. But we had one the majority of my life. And when you got ready to use the phone, you didn't walk over to the phone and go dialing no number. You walked over to mama or daddy and said, can I call Eddie down the street and see if he can ride bicycles? When are you planning on riding them? Where are you planning on riding them? Where are you going to meet? When do you plan on being home? Never mind. Forget it. I need to call them anyway. Can I call a girl? For what?
Yeah.
You ain't old enough to get married. You don't need to be calling no girl. I like them. I don't care. I like ice cream. I don't eat it all the time. I got that verse in Proverbs long before many of you did. Answer a fool according to his folly. My dad did. He answered me according to my folly a lot of times. He said, boy, I'm going to cure you from sucking eggs. He said, if the whole rest of the world sticks their head in the fire, you going to stick it in there too? I'd ask some of the dumbest things. And so he just answered me with dumb stuff like that. Telephone. Can I use? No. You get a little girlfriend, that kind of thing? Okay, fine. No problem. You can call her right now. Well, Daddy, I'll be right here. Y'all ready to throw up right now? How about you in the balcony? Hurl over the glass. It'll make them feel good down there. Yeah, man. I mean, my daddy said, well, go ahead and call her. You surely don't want to say anything to her that you wouldn't want your old man to hear.
Right.
Well, Dad, you know it's private. It ain't that private. And as long as you're in my house, the only part of private you got right is that's about your rank, and that's it.
Yeah.
We didn't have that stuff in my... We didn't have a sinking clock radio. I had a... That's the way it went. We wake up no rock and roll. Not in my house. You say, why? It's my daddy's house. He said, not here. You move out and do whatever you want to do. Wake up to Led Zeppelin for all I care. But when you're living here, you're going to wake up to bells ringing or you're going to see stars, one or the other. Take a bath. Take a bath. Amen. When? Every day. You don't put your nasty feet in that bed that your mama washed them sheets until you wash your nasty body. And then come up after he's done and be all... You know there's a backside to them ears, don't you? Say, what are you saying? I'm saying that if you're going to be a parent, accept the responsibility of it. Learn the word no. Learn the word you don't get your way just because I hatched you. Like what one person said, and I don't know who said it, and if you do, if I'm misquoting it, let me know. But they said, I brought you into this world, and I can sure enough take you out. See, how'd it work out for you? See, there's your problem. See, your problem is you're trying to determine if I did the things that are right, they turn out right. Uh-uh. That's Gothard foolishness. You might want to do a little homework on that. You just got real nervous about some of the things and accusations that have been made recently. There's no guarantee that if you do, hey, these preachers' boys raised in the temple and kept by the law that turned out where God burned them and put them in hell. You do what's right to do no matter what the outcome is. It's not a guarantee that it'll come out right. The way you live and the things you do gives your kid the best opportunity, but at some point, God doesn't take their free will away to preserve your reputation. I must have been a good parent. Look how mine turned out. Yeah, maybe we ought to let you know what they're all being said about behind your back that you don't know nothing about. You might not be crowing so much or strutting around like a peacock. Joshua says, you're going to make a choice? Why don't you choose today? Today. Numbers chapter 25. I ain't going to get past one point. I guess I can just preach this thing later. Numbers 25. You say, what is this? It's called practical preaching. What good does it do to preach above your head and give you all kind of theological stuff and in the Greek it says and in the Hebrew word the actual meaning of that is? That don't do nothing but blow your head up and make you think you're somebody because somebody smart's talking to you. You've been here 25 years. If you've been around me long, you know I ain't smart. But I'm straight. You can understand what I'm saying. It may not be everything be to the letter correct. I'm trying to work on that. But you don't have a doubt about what I'm saying. I like to talk to a couple of them theologians. Like we used to talk to them on the street. Like, hey, Sonny boy. I don't know who you think you are trying to tell me what to do or impress me with all the stuff you got to know and trying to think you can overrule Jesus Christ. But we got something for somebody like you that Ajax won't take off. And have them over there shaking and trembling and all that kind of stuff and having them backing up and all that. I wouldn't mind seeing them shake at all. It wouldn't bother you. Say you shouldn't be so mean. See, you don't understand. There is a difference in loving people and telling them what the Bible says and speaking the truth in love and trying to hoodoo people with a whole bunch of nonsense that undermines the authority of the Bible and puts them in charge. Amen. They don't love you at all. They love their hide and their dog.
Come on, preacher. That's good. That's right.
Are you number 25? I think you see a fella here that's Moses comes down. He's pretty rough there. He says, we're going to hang the heads of the people that were against him, that were for the judges, Baal Peor and so on and so forth. And then I want you to notice this. Verse number 6. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren, a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation, the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle. Now they've gotten right because Moses has done killed a bunch of people and put their heads up there in verse number 4. Do you see that? That's pretty serious. Can you imagine a jackleg coming along there with a Midianitish woman who they're not supposed to be with because they're not an Israelite, bringing them to the church house and a tent that was supposed to be set aside for the purpose of serving God and worshiping God is now being used as a place of fornication, and he walks in front of people that are repenting and saying, forget that, I'm not repenting. I don't care what you think about it at all. I'm going to do what I want to do. It don't make no difference how much you think this is holy, how much you think this is righteous. And he takes that woman in the tent, the sight of everybody, and commences to do ungodly acts in the house of the Lord. And Phineas says, I'll be jumped.
That's right. Yeah.
And he grabs a spear. You can read the rest of the story. I don't want to speak any more of it in public. But he goes in and he puts a stop to that foolishness. Because there are certain individuals that says, hey, look, you know what? You should just accept and be glad we're here. No, whenever what you're doing when you're there begins to infect the entire congregation, it's time to put a stop to it. Some of you, you know what you do? You're around here on a regular basis. Let me get this said and then I'll move on. The rules don't apply to you. Because it's church. No rules go. Just be glad I'm here. Be all right if it only affected you, but when it starts affecting everybody else, biblically, we're supposed to put a stop to it. You want to see revival here? Stop thinking you're an island and the rules don't apply to you. I don't care if it's the nursery. I don't care if it's the Sunday school. I don't care if it's in here. I don't care if it's camp. I don't care if it's street preaching. Hey, when we go street preaching, when they go down there, we wear long breeches and we wear a decent shirt. That's how we do it. You want to wear your cotton picking shorts, wear them to the beach or wear them somewhere else. You can wear them anytime you want, but when we're street preaching, we don't wear shorts.
Amen.
Say, what is that? It's a rule. Like it or lump it, you want to preach? Put on some breeches.
Amen.
I have a rule myself. You're not preaching up here without a tie on.
Amen.
So I don't like that. I don't care. You want to preach here? Put on a tie.
Amen.
One of the fellows here a long time ago is like, preacher, I forgot my tie. I forgot my tie. I said, you ain't preaching. I got one you can wear. He said, well, I got on a golf shirt. I said, okay, well, a tie and a golf shirt works for me.
Yeah.
It's the principle of the matter. And all of a sudden you start strutting around wanting everybody else to abide by the rules. Now all of a sudden the rules don't apply to you. You don't get to Sunday school and say, hey, they ought to just be glad I'm here. How am I doing? You know what Phineas said? I'm stopping that. You say, why? It sows discord among the brethren. It causes there to be bitterness and strife among the brethren. And he, the Bible says, he that soweth discord among the brethren, he says, is an abomination to him. You can sow it with an attitude. You can sow it by not doing what the Lord told you to do. Are you doing your part? I'll get off of it in a second. Y'all were laughing. Now you've got to look at me like, we're going to kill you. But you know I'm telling the truth. I know it says handicapped parking, but ain't nobody parking in it. I hope God cripples you.
Oh my.
You ought to thank God you can walk. And thank God you can walk without a wheelchair or without a limb. You ought to thank God you got papers to see. You ought to thank God that you don't have to get your lady backside out of your car and walk a few extra steps. It might get that tire from around you, amen.
Right. Amen.
That's good, preacher.
Well, it's closer to park up there. I got a sticker. It belongs to my great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy. But I still got it, so I'm going to get it. I hope when you get out, you don't trip and fall and break your neck. I thank God I can walk. You know what I do? Hey, I don't want to park up there. Well, it's only going to be for a minute. I ain't parking there. Not because I'm worried about a $250 ticket or however much it is. It is... I'm parking in a place. Maybe somebody else. No one of them old people park there. And if you old and can still walk, say, thank God I can walk. I don't need that yet, man.
Amen.
And if somebody says, hey, you want to park handicap? Punch him in the hand. Say, I'll let you know when I need handicap parking, sonny boy.
Amen.
I ain't dead yet.
Amen.
Rules don't apply to me. How come they get front row parking? By the way, while I'm on it, it was not my idea to put that sign out there that says, preacher, I used to park in the back. See, you don't believe me. The trustees did that. And first it said pastor's parking. And that was nauseating. I said, if you're going to put it up there, you better say preacher. But I don't mind parking back. You say, why? Well, I can still walk. I can still get around. You say, well, it's a principle. It's the principle.
Sure.
Go a little further?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on.
Parking reserved for these individuals going here. Well, I'm just going to go across the street. Everybody else does it. You fence rider.
Amen.
Rules don't apply to you. If you'll break that one, no telling what you'll break.
Right.
This side's being real. They're like, yeah, yeah. Y'all are over here. You got caught.
No, sir.
The FBI done ruined you. I guess you ain't had no preaching for several months now. You need the stew preached out of you and get that amen back in your gut again, amen. He's a G-man now. Governmental man. Hey, we're in high cotton. somebody graduated the FBI Academy. Better be nice. He might be the sheriff. You never know. Then he has said, not on my watch.
Amen.
Deacons!
No.
Phineas said, not on my watch!
Amen.
Trustees! Church members!
Amen.
Christians!
Amen.
Not on my watch! We all have the opportunity to make that stand and to say, hey, enough is enough. We ain't doing it that way. Why? It ain't right. Lord, how many times have I heard that? Exodus 32. Do it again, boy. Daddy, it's fine like it is. It ain't right. Do it again. You're going to lick your calf twice or three or four times until you do it right. Ain't no shortcut. You ain't putting nothing together with no gasket seal. You're going to take that stinking bolt that you busted off out of there that you didn't think I saw when you put the gasket seal after you wrung the head off on the bottom of the bolt and stuck the bolt on there like it was glued in and screwed in. You go get the easy out. You go pull that valve cover off of there, and you're going to pull that thing out, and you're going to re-thread it, and you're going to put it back in and torque it down just like I tell you. But Dad, it ain't going to leak. I don't care if it don't leak. As a matter of fact, right now, it ain't going to leak. You say, really? Yeah, because it ain't going to run. You ain't cranking it up. Give me them keys. Man, Daddy. There's a right way and a wrong way, boy. There's a right way and a wrong way, Christian. About time somebody knew what we were instead of walking and kind of like, are you charismatic? Or Pentecostal? You kind of floating, kind of like the loafers through here. What's the matter? Is your name Twinkie? You got lace on your britches? Why are you talking that high-pitched voice? Swishing around. What's the matter? You ain't got no muscle in that wrist or something? How come it keeps flipping around like that? Hey! You're a man, be a man. Say amen, Brother Rex, even though you're up in the nosebleeds. Amen. He's like, man, don't pull me in on that. Exodus 32. Verse number 25. Moses went down to the local Baptist church. Say, what were they doing? Well, there was the noise of war in the camp. Rock and roll music and arguing. Fussing. Fuming. Fighting. Noise of war. Moses got mad. He comes down and the Bible says in verse 25, Moses saw the people were naked. Naked? Yeah! Aaron had made them naked to their shame amongst their enemies with the mixed multitude. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and he said, hey, where's the party? Woo! Glad we got liberty. Thank God we ain't got the law to have to worry about. Where do I sign up? Moses was by himself. And Moses says, hey, this ain't right. Imagine that, gathering in church and having the preacher stand up and tell you that ain't right.
Amen.
Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And that day the Bible says there fell about 3,000 men. 3,000 men. You say, why? Because the men didn't have the backbone to stand up against their wives and kids and say, we ain't doing that. You ain't taking your clothes off in front of all them other people and jumping around and worshiping some four-legged golden calf. You ain't doing it.
They were more concerned about keeping the home front happy than they were about doing what God says. Your Bible says 3,000 men. I don't care if you've got a Neutrogeneral Bible. You say, what happens? There's some choices that we have to make. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm about to run out of time. This is introduction. There's a sweet part to this. But it's a long time coming. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Is this a fair statement? Wait till you say it now. Is this a fair statement? You can't be in love with God's Word and be compatible with God's enemies. Is that a fair statement? You claim to love the Bible you've been studying. You got people coming in here, folks here at Bible Believers, you got visitors coming here because they think you're different than everywhere else they've been.
That's right. That's right.
They think you really are what you claim to be. I hope that they're not disappointed. Because I don't think you can love God's Word and keep getting along with God's enemies. I didn't say you had to be mean or arrogant or obnoxious. I said that if you just love God's Word, don't the rest of that take care of itself? There's some people that just don't want to be around you. They want to go do something on Sunday. I ain't got nothing to do. I'm bored. I'm good. We're going to go to church. Where are they at? They don't want to come with you. They want you to come with them while they're doing their devilment. They go with you to the beach or to the lake or they hit a ball or something today, but they ain't coming with you to church. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Here's a hard one. The Bible says this. I think I'm in the right passage. I'm looking for that passage. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see. 33. That's it. Thank you. Be not deceived. Evil communications might possibly could, if you're having a bad day, corrupt good manners. You know what that Bible says? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, He said that he that walketh with the wise shall become wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. I had a fellow call me the other day. We were talking and he said, well, isn't it something that pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching? And I said, yeah, that's really something. And he goes, well, that's one of my main languages. I speak fool real fluently. I said, what are you saying? Because I must be able to speak it too if he's able to understand it. That's funny. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Romans chapter 16. If that's the case, there's certain things. You know what you better do? You better not fool around with it. It always has a way of manifesting itself sooner or later. Even those ultra high, super superior, I know more Bible than Jesus people. You get around them, they got no practical living about them. They it's just always some spiritual. And they always kind of give you this idea they're floating through life because, you know, God's speaking to them in a way that nobody else is speaking to them. It's like, where's that in the Bible? Peter was a fisherman, man. I mean, he had fish scales on him. Yeah, he smelled like fish. Probably if they had frogs, he'd have frogs in there too. Which they're good if they're big enough. Cut them off, put them in the cooler, and in the morning you fry them with eggs with salt and pepper. They'll hop around. They ain't got frogs up north. They don't know good eating. All of them migrated down south. Tastes like chicken. I was in the Philippines. The fellow said to me, have you eaten the rat? Yes! It is my regular accent. Across the board, Pharaoh. And they all match.
Amen.
Romanian, Philippine, German, English, they're all the same. You eaten the rat? I said, I don't eat rats. He said, oh, you have never been hungry. I might eat a rat if I was hungry, but I'd have to be really hungry. Yeah. Peter was a fisherman.
Amen.
Matthew was a tax collector. John the Baptist, who the Bible said was a great man, he wasn't no sophisticated. He was camel skin, honey and bugs all over him. Literally. And the Lord said, there is not a greater preacher born of a woman than John the Baptist. And what did he do? He just got up and told everybody they were wrong. All the time. You don't find one positive sermon he preached. You missed that, didn't you? Finally, one sermon where he preached an exhortation to encourage the people. He encouraged them, you repent or go to hell. And then they would repent and he'd say, who do you think you are that who told you you could repent? I didn't even tell you you could repent. You go back and show me you mean business. Until then, don't even come back and talk to me. He wasn't trying to fill up the church. Not a single positive message. Every one of them was judgment. Locust and honey. Do right, you get the honey. Do wrong, you get the judgment. You ever look at the people the Lord surrounded himself with? It wasn't a sophisticated bunch of people. It was common, ordinary people. Roll up your sleeves, sweat run down your back just like anybody else's. And your B.O. and your feet stink just like anybody else's do. Perspiration. Sweat!
Amen.
Common, ordinary people. But we're never around people who are sophisticated stuff. If the Lord wanted it to be that way, He could have taken it to all the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He went to a church service up there and told them a few things and then got up and left. Next time he went in there, they were doing things wrong. He turned the table over. How'd you like to have that for a Sunday morning service? Wow, that got quiet. Romans chapter 16. Don't worry, I ain't going to turn nothing over. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Are you in verse 17? And offense is contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. And avoid them. Not only do you see some him being shaky, you can apply the shield in 1:14, but in 1:15, you have to understand that the Bible teaches you the biblical principle of separation. You know what the Lord said to the devil when he was in the wilderness? Get thee hence. You know what he says in 1:15, Brother Brian? He says, depart from me. Get out of my face. Get away from me. I want none of your foolishness. You know what Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, the boss's wife? Leave me alone. And she kept pestering him to the point he finally tore out of there and left her alone. The time that we as Christians, not only from the standpoint of the world, but also from the standpoint of the Bible, he says from doctrinal issues, we're supposed to just leave them alone. Amen. Titus chapter 3, quickly. For those of you visiting, I'm trying to land at 12 o'clock, but I've got a ways to go. I didn't get no encouragement at all there.
Amen, brother.
You like a clam. You went... You like a clam at high tide. I ain't saying nothing, preacher. I done had enough. This next verse might be for me. The Bible teaches you clearly that separation before stabilization comes. That separation means that you have to be willing to make some choices. You cannot leave it to other people to separate from you. It ain't going to happen. Titus, let me hurry. Is that in the New Testament, Brother Brad? Got a page number there. Titus chapter 3, verse number 9. Avoid foolish questions. Where'd Cain get his wife? I don't know. The dance hall. I don't know. Why did you ask that? I know where he got his wife, but the question is, why are you doing that to show your ignorance?
You surely would know that if you read your Bible. Sometimes people ask you some dumb questions. You say, why? Because they're dumb, that's why. Why does a donkey bray? Because he's a donkey. That's how sometimes church folks are. They sound like a donkey braying in a tin barn. I may be dumb, but I know what I'm talking about. And I know some of you were here this morning, you're looking at me and you're kind of shocked. But there's some people sitting here and they're going, you're daggum right. That's exactly my impression of church, is a bunch of donkeys in a tin barn just braying about all they're doing and all they've done and no Jesus anywhere. Amen. Mad about this. Upset about that. You're going to kick the back end of the barn out. And all it does is just echo. So why do people ask dumb questions? Because they're dumb. Those are the questions that are asked because they're dumb. Not because they want to know. They're being stupid. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes I want to go, are you from this planet? Where are you at? Sorry, verse 9. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law. They're unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, keep cultivating, keep hanging around him. Didn't he just warn you that evil communication corrupt good manners? You keep hanging around with them, you start listening to them. I know what the Bible says, my grandma, she also untied the bow tie, he caught me Honda all the time. She got her a prayer cloth in the mail, throwed it down, got out on her knees, and God gave her $1 million. She done spent it all, but He gave it to her. She had a garter, but it's gone now. God took it away. We just poured a little 40 weight on her and she prayed believing and all's good. I was at the church. I saw him get knocked over in the spirit. You're the devil. Get away from me. But I'm telling you, you're the devil. Get away from me. Things don't fall backwards in the sight of God. Unless it's God rebuking them. That's when they fall backwards. So whether you know it or not, God just rebuked you because you've fallen over and need somebody to put a sheet over you. Amen. They think you don't escape from SeaWorld. Somebody call Greenpeace. We got one out in the ocean. They'd be running in there with some water and some stretchers to try to get you back before you wind up floundering. Aren't you glad you're back? Foolish question, genealogy, contention, striving about the law, man, and a heretic out of the first and second. Why? Because he's the one with the problem, not you. Brother Sean, you know what this did for me? It took a lot of pressure off of me. I had a lot of independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, so-called rightly dividing people that just wanted to fight all the time. And I would show them what I believe the Bible said, and they were just, well, I just think, you know, well, I just believe, well, I just me. And I finally realized, I ain't got to argue with them no more.
That's right.
Hey, you know, he says a heretic, they think you're a heretic. Yeah, they use the same verse on me, but they never did want to reject me. They wanted to stick me and keep talking to me. I'm like, get away from me. You're not going to change me. See, you're not going to listen. No, see, you misunderstand. The doctrines of the Bible are sure and sound. I'm sure about them. You're not going to get me to and make me speak in tongues. I might lose control of it every now and then, but you'll still understand what I'm saying. I said posterior a while ago in a more of a slang way, and I've been trying not to say that, but it got away from me. It just jumped out there. You better thank God half that stuff don't jump out there. I'm not supposed to have speech that can be condemned. I try to get it under control, but it's hard sometimes. Sometimes a feller just gets upset. And it's like
sis, it's like, do you understand? And it's like, you're not getting through, so you just want to like say something to like shock them. Or sock them one. You want to just grab, you hear what I'm saying? In the name of Jesus. Had to be careful and get it around the back of the windpipe. Don't get the windpipe. You can break the windpipe. Get it around the back side of the windpipe. I've been told. I don't know. This problem's a heart problem. This problem comes from within. So the tree bears rotten fruit. 119, let's put a bow on this. Now let's go to the house. Let's go to lunch and then go to the house. How about that? Psalm 119. You've been very gracious this morning. A lot of liberty to be able to preach on a Sunday morning like this. It's a blessing to have you folks here. Joseph said, I'm out of here. Jesus said, get thee hence. Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles, you know what they said? Hey, there are certain things we ought not be a part of. Say, preacher, I've done it. Okay, good. Ask the Lord to forgive you and let's go on. Ain't nobody that ain't.
Right.
I'm not preaching this as one that's obtained. I love the practicality of the Bible.
Amen.
All that heady stuff, I'll let Jesus teach me that when I get to heaven.
Amen.
I'm looking for the USB drive on that thing. Ain't that little, is that what that little thumb thing is? About as big as my thumb? I just want to get up there and the Lord just go and import the rest of the stuff. But this practical stuff, that's what I need. I need to be reminded it's okay to be separated. I need to be reminded that I ain't the one with the problem. When I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do, it ain't because I got cooties they don't want to be around me. It's because I got Jesus. Oh, that's pretty good right there. That even ought to make you grin just a little bit, brother. I'm not going to pick on you much. But think about that. Sometimes people don't like it because you got Jesus. That's a good don't like me.
Amen. Amen, amen.
I think we ought to start a new internet profile thing for everybody that don't like you in the name of Jesus. And the way you know you're doing good, instead of having all these however many that's following you or whatever because you think you're the greatest thing in the world, it's how many thumbs down you got. I got another thumbs down today. Somebody else don't like me in the name of Jesus. Woohoo! I'm doing good. They don't like me either. Amen. I love Jesus. They hate me. That's a good idea for a flip side. It lets you know more about where you stand in His eyes instead of the world's eyes. Some of you are more worried about what people think than what God thinks. And you honestly, honestly believe that all the people that follow you, that you friended, you honestly think if things get bad, they're going to come running and they care. Yeah, wait and see. I have friends long before any of that junk ever came around. And they'll be there and I don't have to stay in touch with them on the computer. To make sure, do you still like me? I like you. Circle yes if you like me. You haven't talked to me in 2 or 3 days. Do you still like me? I'm going to unlike you. I wonder if Jesus did that, He'd be like, I'm going to unlike a whole lot of you. Because He ain't hear from you until a tornado comes. Lord's like, man, I ain't heard from him. Well, there's old David again. How you doing? I ain't heard from you in a long time.
Amen.
118. Now it's trodden down all them that err from the statutes. Not yet. Second advent. The Lord promises that those things are already put aside. If He doesn't put emphasis on them, why do you? Their deceit is falsehood. It's a lie. It's a tribulation reference to them following the Antichrist, but in the day and age time now, they're lying to you and you're following them and it's an untruth. Why would you follow an untruth when you got the truth?
Amen.
Remember, 119 is about the book.
Amen.
Notice what he says. Now put us away all the wicked in the earth. Like dross. What? You put them away. Yeah, before you can get stabilized in verse number 117, hold me up, then I'll be safe. You've got to get rid of some things. Cling to Jesus, they'll take care of themselves. But some of you know what you've got to do? You've got to tell them to part. Get away from me. Jesus didn't wait for it to be implied for the devil. He let the devil know. Joseph didn't wait. Last of all, notice he says this in verse number 119 after he stomps them all out there. Then he says in verse number 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I'm afraid of thy judgments. Why did he put that at the end of that passage, that stanza? He's reminding himself of all the things he's promising to do. And he's actually encouraging himself and saying, you know something, fear in God is more important than fear in man. And ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to separating yourself from people that don't love God and don't want anything to do, I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm not talking about not witnessing to them. I'm not talking about your backslidden heathen friends and that kind of stuff. That's all I'm talking about. And even that passage about a heretic is arguing about biblical things. It's arguing about things that don't amount to a row of pins and things like that. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about praying for prodigals and asking them to come back in and that kind of a deal. But what he is saying is that some of the companions that want me to be around are not anything at all like Jesus. They're not good for me to be around. My flesh would like to be around them. But fearing God is more important. And thinking about God, it makes me shake. When's the last time when your choices got made that you'd be trembling like Moses comes down off that mountaintop? He's angry and he says, choose you this day. And Joshua says, choose you this day. And it cost you your head if you didn't. You know what God's saying to you today? Get off the fence. Make a choice. Get in. Stop dilly-dallying around there in ankle-deep water. Jump on out here. If we drown, we drown together. Let's go. Let's get something done. Let's stop playing around on the shoreline. Let's go. Let's burn the ships, man. Let's go. Stop letting all this foolish stuff get in the way. Make some choices in your personal life, in your business life, in your family life. Make some choices. You'll be a better man or a woman for it, but more importantly, you'll be a better Christian for it. Get some character about you. Spiritual character. I'm going to read my Bible before I watch the television. I didn't say I didn't watch television. You didn't hear me say that. I said, I'm going to read my Bible. Before I do that, you say, why? That's right. Because I know me. I'm going to get to watching. And then I'm going to, I'll read it tomorrow. I'm going to produce some good habits. I hope that helps you. I hope it makes you think a little bit. Realize that there's a little bit more to this thing than, just getting saved. Got some choices to make. You boys did good today. Real good. All right, let's stand together and we'll be dismissed. No invitation today. You've had good enough. Let's just stand together and be dismissed if we could, please.